हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज एंड आवर पार्टिसिपेंट्स फ्रॉम द बेसिक कोर्स, द एलिमेंट्री कोर्स विच वी ऑल टुक जस्ट सम टाइम अगो। एंड लास्ट वीक वी हैड बिगन विथ द एडवांस्ड सेशंस। व्हाट वाज द सेशन लास्ट वीक? Began with the ABCD of Bhakti Yoga, which was the last session from our basic course. And last Friday we began with the A, Association. And continuing on with learning our ABCD of Bhakti Yoga, today we are on the alphabet B. And B refers to, if you remember, books. So tonight we shall be discussing on the aspect of hearing, which means when you talk about books or scriptures, we are talking about the process of hearing. Or in Sanskrit, this is called Shravanam. So much has been spoken about hearing process, and what we shall be doing tonight is we'll be going into another aspect of hearing, which talks about how in our day-to-day life, while we are living as a professional person, as a family man or whatever, how the process of hearing is so much working. We cannot live without this very pertinent phenomena which is taking place within all of us, the process of hearing. And therefore, when we take up to say reading any scripture, what we are doing is we are hearing. Any book which we read, we are hearing. Say for example, if you are reading Bhagavad Gita, you are hearing Krishna, because Krishna, he has spoken the Gita. And even if you might be silently reading the Bhagavad Gita, but very loudly, if you are attentively reading it, very loudly you are hearing Krishna speaking directly into your ears. So therefore, we have also entitled today's session as the power of hearing, along with the B, which is books or scriptures. We have some interesting quotes on hearing. Try to motivate us in order to go and pursue this path of hearing in our life. Reading is to mind is what exercise is to the body. Like we find so much happening in the field of the body. People are so health conscious nowadays and so much conscious about their physique, their shape, and therefore people work out and do so many things for this material body. But as far as the subtle material body, which is our mind, intelligence, yes, of course many things are happening in that field also, but how much do we realize that actually we are exercising our mind every day? And therefore, when we are doing some proper reading or proper hearing, it is like a workout for the mind. Just like you feel some difference when you work out for your body. You sweat out. If you work out in a gym, you can realize that yes, you know, the muscles are getting tensed up and, you know, bulging out. But then how much do we actually experience when we sit with a book that our mind and our subtle body is getting exercised? So what is the testimony? How would you testify yourself that today I had a mental workout, say after reading some good book? How would you testify it? just like you could testify, or anybody else could testify, that you had a workout in a gym on a physical level. Huh? What we remember. That's it. Anything else? Imagining what we read. Anything else? Implementing what we read, understand, remember. Which means we are talking about that there should be some transformation. So on a physical level, when you know, I gave the example of somebody working out in a gym, and before he went for the workout, he didn't have, you know, that experience of his muscles getting tensed up, his biceps bulging out, and those kind of experiences. But after he worked out from the gym, then there is a difference. So what is the testimony that he has worked out in the gym? There is a difference. He was not sweating before, he's sweating now. He feels more kind of a surge within, a power within. Similarly, when there is a mental workout, there should be some amount of transformation which should be perceived within our consciousness. If there is no transformation perceived, then we'll go into the details of what kind of hearing that was. What else do we have? Everyone wants to learn speed reading. How many of you are aware of that? You know, many people are into speed reading. But herein the question is asked, how about speed understanding? Yes, you know, just like, you know, this particular laptop, it has a certain application. It speaks out. Say, for example, this particular text, if I highlight and if I activate the speech application, this laptop will start speaking what it's reading. But that's just a computer. That's just a machine reading it out. And many times when we take up a book, we go through the book sometimes just like machine. And sometimes we don't even read. The book is there in front of us. We are simply sitting with the book for hours, but the mind is reading something else. The eyes might be on the book, but the mind is reading something else. So herein, when we are talking about proper hearing process, it should be not just simply some speed reading, but even understanding of that. You may lead an ass to knowledge, but you cannot make him think. What is a corollary example to this, which a saying which generally we quote? Huh? And? Yeah. You can take the horse to the bank of a river, but it may not be in your hands to induce that horse to drink that water. Now, this is in regards to an ass. Like one time there was a scholar, and this scholar would go from village to village, you know, extolling his scholarship. And he would carry loads of scriptures and books and those kind of stuff. But he would travel on an ass. You know, ass? Donkey. So, one day, the ass asked this person that every day you load all these books on me, and I am carrying all these books, but all the glory, all the garlands and felicitation is for you. But I am the one, I am the poor donkey carrying the load of all these books. So the scholar told to this donkey that, my dear donkey, you carry these loads of books only from one place to another place. That's only for some time. As far as I'm concerned, I have to carry all of that here, 24 hours. So who is carrying the load for more number of time? It's me. So therefore, sometimes you may have someone who may say that I have read the Bhagavad Gita. One person came to Srila Prabhupada. You know, I can recite Bhagavad Gita in 15 minutes. Prabhupada said, can you live Bhagavad Gita even for 5 minutes? So sometimes people, they might be well-read. But simply being well-read doesn't determine whether you are knowledgeable. And even somebody who says that I'm very knowledgeable, even that person is not considered to be really knowledgeable unless that knowledge is applied or unless that knowledge turns into wisdom and unless that wisdom turns into enlightenment. So, hearing or reading should transform into knowledge. Knowledge should transform into wisdom. Wisdom should transform into enlightenment. Some more interesting quotes we have here. This is John F. Kennedy. The greater our knowledge increases, the greater our ignorance unfolds. We come to know how less we know. And therefore, sometimes, you know, when we are in our own well, what do you call that? Koop manduk nyay. Frog in the well. Mr. or Dr. Frog's philosophy, who only knew its own well and the water within that well. So many times when we have people who are around us, you know, who are less knowledgeable than us, when we have people who think that we are the supreme most, in Hindi it's called Andhome Kana Raja. So everyone else is illiterate and we know how to hold the pen. That's it. So then we become the supreme most knowledgeable person. So over here, we get to know that how much ignorance is there within us when we actually encounter real knowledge. So it's a very beautiful quote by Kennedy. Knowing others is wisdom. Knowing the self is enlightenment. So many times we simply become a repository of facts and figures. That yes, I know that general knowledge. We just mug up all the facts and figures from a general knowledge book. Or even if we might be qualified in a certain body of knowledge, many times it's just quoting some facts and figures. It's like a news reporter. Some statistics. You know how a news reporter speaks out? It's everything is in front and the news reporter has no emotions whatsoever. I don't know, nowadays people are more graphic in presenting the news and everything. But in the previous times, you know, with a very cold face, the news reporter would be sitting and just, you know, 1,000 people died in earthquake in Gujarat. And then, you know, after that, in the same breath, there is another news about somebody getting Bharat Ratna. So many times, you know, they have nothing to do with what they are quoting because they have been paid for that. So they are simply performers, simply good acting, or sometimes not even that. But over here, it should lead into enlightenment. Now this is something very interesting, which I recently found. Read this very carefully. You have to be now really a good reader in order to grasp what has been shown to you. Let's see how many of you, after just few minutes of reading that, remember. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a student. Teach him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Wake him up. He who knows and knows that he knows is wise. And therefore, follow him. Understood? Okay. So without saying, how many of you can repeat? This is another test of how we read. Not just we have to read with our mind and concentration and consciousness, and not just with the eyes. It's something very wonderful that, let's repeat again, that he who knows not and knows not that he knows not. Did you know? Is a fool. Is clear? The words itself are clear. Okay. And now, you see, many times we come in the, which category? Second. At least, better off, second, you know, that he who knows not and knows that he knows not, that's a student. And therefore, he requires to be taught. That's a better category. But then over here, a person, he might be better off than the student, but if he's asleep, he comes in this category that he who knows and knows not that he knows. Now, of course, herein, we are not just talking about going to sleep on a gross level. Many times, on a subtle level, we might be wide awake, sitting in a seminar or sitting in a classroom or reading a book. And many times, we may know certain subject matter, but because of not assimilating it properly, we may forget it just the very next moment. So therefore, in Sanskrit, when we talk about Shravan, there is a root word called Charvan. From where comes Shravan? What do you mean by Charvan? Huh? No. That is Smaran. Chewing. Huh? Charvan is called chewing. Now, we are not talking about gutka or panparag or, you know, that stuff. Now, this word has been in connection with Shravan. This Charvan in connection with Shravan is because of certain animals. What can you deduce now? That how this Charvan and Shravan is connected to some animals and what we learn from them in regards to Charvan and Shravan. Like, for example, cows or a camel, they eat, say, once in a day, but then they keep chewing the same food. They take it out. I guess there is some storage, you know, within some facility within, wherein they can take out whatever they have eaten for that day, and again they chew it, again they take it back, again they take it out, again they chew it. That's how the hearing should be done. That it should be taken out, it should be relished, chewed back, again take it in, again take it out, and again chewed and relished, and also used to energize one's consciousness. If it is simply eating, eating, God knows where it goes, but that kind of hearing, we'll look into that, what's that category of that kind of hearing. So therefore, we have to try to have the aspiration, the hope, the goal to come the last one, the wise, that yes, people then try to follow. Now, as you remember, in our basic course, we had discussed that scriptures are compared to our mother. Why? Shastra Mata. Why? Why scriptures are compared to our mothers? Just like mother gives us all nice food to eat. Something like that? No? Yeah. They give us the knowledge just like we have. Mother, who is that person who introduces us to our father. And the best introduction of our father, we can have it from our mother. And it's the most complete introduction. It's the quickest introduction. If you remember, we had undertaken a calculation of a person. And, you know, that calculation I was inspired to do when there was one person arguing with me that I can know my father through DNA testing. So then I went into the calculation that how much time it takes and how many males are there on the surface of this planet Earth. If you remember that calculation. So which means it is the quickest also. If you want to know your father, if one wants to know one's father, the quickest is through one's mother. So herein is a very, very wonderful analogy, comparison of scriptures to the mother and the Supreme Lord to the father. And therefore, hearing one's mother is very important. And this is a very interesting term. This comes from the Oxford University. All of you know, where is it? London. And there was one professor over there called Professor Austin, J.L. Austin. And this professor, he came up with this term called performative utterance. And performative utterance means utterance, you know, when a word is uttered. So when a word is uttered and there is activity which follows behind that word, that's called performative utterance, which means that utterance was being performed. Understood? No. Any examples you can think of? That, you know, he gives the example of, like as far as hearing, you know, we only know hearing. If you tell someone, you know, I'm going for hearing. What is that? Court. Hearing in the court. So hearing, this word is only connected to court. So he took this term, performative utterance, looking into the affairs in a court. So over there, say a criminal is being tried for a certain crime. And there is the defense, the prosecutor and the judge. And all the examinations and cross-examinations and all of that. Then the judge gives the verdict. And the judge says, what is that? According to IPC, it's IPC? According to IPC 302, Dafa 302. That's too much, huh? So 300 le khali 200. So according to whatever, so he quotes that particular law and then he utters the sentence. He utters the sentence. How does he utter the sentence? That he should be sentenced for 14 years or life imprisonment or 6 months or whatever. Like, you know, there was this one incident wherein a murderer, because earlier it used to be, you know, people, the murderers would be hanged to death. So there was one incident wherein the judge had pronounced the punishment. But when he pronounced, he said, hang him. So the lawyer was so sharp, he recorded that and he said that according to the pronouncement, it simply hang, not hang till death. So the murderer was taken and he was simply hung for 2 seconds and then released. And from there on, then it was introduced that it should be pronounced hang till death. Like, you know, when people get married, what do they say? Until death do we part. Have you heard that? In the Christian religion they have. Until death do we part. Of course, in the West nowadays, they say that, you know, a successful marriage is, nowadays in America, the criterion for a successful marriage is when the couple comes out from the church together. And they're congratulated. You're still together. Therefore, you know, there is a saying, forgot the person, says that even if you want to get married, better get married the earlier part of the day. At least you won't waste the day if anything wrong happens. So, of course, coming back to our performative utterance. So when the judge pronounces, what happens is that the activity is followed behind that utterance. That utterance is performed, which means there is weightage. Now, what makes those words carry all that weight? When the judge pronounces the punishment, what is that which carries the weight? Huh? Authority, position, because he's sitting up somewhere. Okay. Huh? Implication of? No, that we are talking about. Application. Yeah. But what makes it happen? The activity. Implications of law. Okay. Constitutional backing. Okay, there is a constitutional. Oh, same law. Same thing. Yeah, this is also something which has to be taken into account, that the criminal has to be bona fide. The criminal has to be authentic also. The judge is authorized, the criminal is also authorized to receive. And it has to be within the courtroom. Now the same authority, let's take the same judge, Mr. XYZ. He quotes the same law, wearing the same dress, but in some sabji market. You know, he goes to buy sabji, and the sabji wala is quoting too much price. So he says, I sentence you 6 months of imprisonment. Will that happen? The authority is the same. He's quoting maybe from some law book, that according to that law book, if you give the sabji at that rate, I don't know, whatever it is. But it won't work. The utterance will not have the performance behind it, because the other factors are not suited to it. So, this Mr. Austin, when he talks about performative utterance, he's talking about that there is so much of talk and hearing which is going on in this material world. But how much is that hearing which is actually put in practice, being performed? That is the million-dollar question. And therefore, when we talk about Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, the supreme authority, Arjun, the most eligible recipient, the place was the most suitable place, the situation was the most suitable situation, everything, just like in the courtroom, they have to prepare everything which will be conducive for the performative utterance to take place. And therefore, whenever we are hearing something, we should first look into account whether all of these factors are in proper place for that utterance to come into its proper activity. And therefore, when we look into the scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita, it is very well placed in order for the activity to follow behind the utterance what Krishna. So this is understood. So therefore, how important it is to hear the mother, coming back to the example of mother, which means Bhagavad Gita. Now there are 8 types of hearing, and this is something interesting. This is 4 favorable and 4 unfavorable. And this is again from our scriptures. We are hearing again from our mother. 4 favorable and 4 unfavorable. This is from the Puranas. So, as far as the favorable, let's take. Animals are being enlisted. Anyone knows what this particular species is? Not Jataka. Jataka. It's a bird. How many of you have heard or seen this bird? Heard about this bird? What is so special about this bird? Yeah. Jataka does nirjal for the whole year without drinking a drop of water for the whole year, and waits for the rainy season, like this rainy season which is going on. And even in rainy season, this Jataka bird, it doesn't drink water from any other source. It is only waiting for the cloud to shower the water. There are like rivers flowing and lakes and oceans are abundant with water, but this Jataka bird will not drink even a drop of water from any other source, but from the cloud. Not even from any cloud. Not even from any rain. But that which comes in the Swati Nakshatra, this Jataka drinks only that particular drop of rain water. Now this particular example is given for that hearer who hears only things which are of the utmost quality. And he has his standards. He maintains his standards. He doesn't, compromise on his standards. Just like Jataka doesn't compromise. So, the first in the favorable list is that kind of hearer who never compromises of hearing anything which is substandard. He is very particular, like the Jataka bird. Then, the next example in this category, the swan. First time I saw swan in Venice. Yeah. Beautiful. Very beautiful looking. How many of you have seen a swan? It's very graceful actually. And many times people mistake ducks to swan. Ducks are, Donald Duck, quacking. But swans are actually very graceful. And what is the speciality of a swan? Can separate milk from water. Huh? So, if in case you are Dudwala, you may have to keep a swan. So, all milkmans are afraid of swans. So, it is said that, it has some kind of chemical in its saliva which can discern, which can differentiate between water and milk, between some rubbish and nectar. So a swan-like hearer is that person, even though some rubbish garbage is also hitting the ears of this hearer is like the swan. It can discriminate. And swan, after discriminating, does what? It drinks only the nectar. It first discriminates. There are people who discriminate. But you can't put them in the category of swan. Because the swan, the next part of the swan is, after discriminating, accepts only the nectar. So this is the second kind of favorable hearer. The third is parrot. Now, what is the speciality? Of course, you know, parrot many times is quoted as being negatively, but Popat Panchi. But herein we are talking about that quality of parrot. He repeats as it is. It's a very good quality of a parrot, because many times you will find that what we hear, you know, the Chinese whisper, that game, when it comes down to 2-3 people, it is totally, you know, a different ball game which begins. So when we are talking about parrot-like hearing, which means the hearing should be repeated as it is. Now, this doesn't mean that it should be repeated like a robot without any feelings or understanding or application in one's life. But only that quality of the parrot is over here focused upon. So, the fourth is fish. A little difficult here. What do you understand? Hearing through vibrations. It's a good point. Eyes are always open. For a fish, fish never blinks, closes its eyes with open, wide open eyes. And also, fishes are very sensitive in regards to vibrations also. So these qualities of fish, if a hearer has, inculcates, that non-stop a person is very much encouraged to hear that person. And literally, if we take the example of the fish, how the fish enjoys a body of water without even blinking. Now, how many times when we sit to hear, do we, like, you know, there was one science conference in Calcutta. This was many, many years ago, maybe a decade ago. There was a science conference, and this was a synthesis of science and religion. And so many scientists from all over the world had come, ISKCON had organized in Calcutta. And some of our devotees from Bombay had gone over there. And it was such a boring session. You know, all these scientists quoting their, you know, scientific data. And so one of the scientists, you know, he was discussing with one of our devotees. And this devotee said that, you know, sometimes I'm dozing because, you know, after big lunch, post-lunch session, sometimes I'm dozing. So, you know, I'm sorry for that. So the scientist said, you are sometimes dozing, I sometimes wake up. In between, when, just look into my watch, what is the time? So herein, when we are talking about a hearing like a fish, it should be done in a very sensitive way. It should be done in that eagerness. Should we begin the unfavorable? Okay, the first one is the wolf. What is the category? How does one ascertain that a hearer comes in this category of a wolf? Wolf, you know, untimely howls. Jab jarurat nahi, tab shuru karta hai. So, there are kind of people who they begin their hearing, and untimely they will get up and they will start howling in between the speech. And Srila Prabhupada, when he started preaching in America, there were many in this category. There was one time one person, you know, he, Srila Prabhupada is speaking, and he all of a sudden got up and he said, "Can you show me God?" Now Prabhupada was speaking on some other topic, and all of a sudden he gets up, "Can you show me God?" Prabhupada said, "You sit down first. You hear what I am saying." "No, but can you see God?" Prabhupada said, yes, I'm seeing God. You are coming in the way. Because Prabhupada was sitting and he was on the Vyasasana, and there, like, we have the altar, and Prabhupada, so like that. He got in between. So Prabhupada said, you are coming in the way. You sit down, let me see God, then I'll show you. So this is this category. They, you know, keep howling in between. So this is the first category of person, unfavorable hearer. Crow. As far as the crow, you know, there is a speciality in a crow. Like there is speciality in swan, exact opposite is black and white, like that. The exact opposite is the crow. The swan differentiates between some rubbish and nectar and then selects the nectar. As far as the crow, it does the opposite. It only looks for garbage. And wherever there is garbage, you know, in fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that that literature which simply talks about bodily concept of life, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, Bhagavatam says that is the pilgrimage for crows. It's a place of pilgrimage. Now, if you go into the crow community and interview them and ask, which is your pilgrimage place? What will the crows say? Municipality truck. And even that particular garbage which has been rotting for many, many days and weeks, that's, you know, the first in the menu for the crows. So a person who is in that particular category, that person simply looks for garbage to hear. And you know, so much of that garbage is going on in through the media. Then, bull. Now, the quality of a bull is that bull, it doesn't have much sensitivity. If you offer bull some cooked husk, you know what husk means? Empty. Kya bolte usko Hindi? Husk. Chilka. Bas chilka. Chilka to kiska bhi ho sakta. Okay, you all understood. So, if you put in front of a bull cooked husk or halwa, succulent butter halwa, the bull cannot determine that which one to choose. Jo bhi paas mein dikhega, usse shuru karo. So many times people who come in this category, you know, whatever, kaun sa channel chal raha hai, chalo. Sanskar hai ya bekar hai, jo bhi channel hai. Usko suno. So that is the bull category. And the last is the camel. Now what is one speciality of a camel? Set aside what we discussed about the camel. Something else about the camel. Huh? Eats thorns. What next about that? No, वो तो basic course का सुना रहे हैं आप. Yes, we take this that camels, they eat thorns and they like to eat thorns. You know why? Because when they can you imagine someone biting upon, chewing upon thorns? So what happens is, you know, the palate, you know, the upper palate of the camel starts bleeding because of the thorns. And the camel enjoys, the camel thinks that, what a juicy thorn. It's drinking its own blood and thinks that the thorn is very juicy. Some hot juice. So this is predicament of a camel. So, over here, the quality of the camel watch we have seen is that it's drinking its own blood, but thinks it is nectar or some juice. Similarly, there are people who hear things which are destroying their lives. They hear things which are detrimental to their progress in this human form of life, and they think that is what is healthy for me. Just like the camel who thinks that drinking its own blood is the most juicy part of the thorn. So that is the category of the fourth in the unfavorable type of hearer. Now, all said and done, many times 99% people come in the category of selective listening. Selective listening means that I will go listen, but I will select what my ears will select, my mind will select. That chant and be happy. Good. Achha laga. But then there are four regulative principles. Four regulative principles. Then the mind is going here and there. You know, no meat eating, no intoxication. Wo sab sunane ke baad phir, haan, kya bole? Chant and be happy. I will chant. But what about the four principles? Bola kya aapne? Like, you know, I always quote this this story of this Muslim. That this Muslim, who was a devout Muslim, going to the mosque and offering namaz 5 times a day, stopped going. And the Maulvi was very much concerned that this was one who was coming. And he met this Muslim a couple of months later and asked that, why you stopped coming? And he said that, I read in Quran a couple of months ago, one should not enter the mosque to offer one's namaz. And the Maulvi said, really? Quran? Quran? Can you also show me what I have been doing all these years then? So he brought the Quran and showed where it was mentioned. So the Maulvi took that particular copy of Quran. He went to the mosque, into his room, and again he wanted to carefully read that. So he read. But what was this? It was the last line of that particular page. One should not enter the mosque to offer namaz. And he turned the page. And the first line of the other page was, without washing one's hands and feet. So this is a typical example of selective listening. That many times from Bhagavad Gita, like, you know, one person actually came to Prabhupada and he said, according to me, Swamiji, Bhagavad Gita is the supreme most of all scripture. I said, really? What inspired you so much in Bhagavad Gita? He said, after speaking the entire Gita, Krishna tells to Arjun, do as you like. Yathechasi tatha kuru. Do as you like. So that's the best part, you know. Yeah, you read the Gita, hear the Gita, and then you do as you like. So this is called selective listening, another category. Now, the three questions which we shall try to tackle in regards to hearing. Why is it important? How to do it? And what is the effect of proper hearing? So why is it important? The entire creation, if you know, It didn't begin from Big Bang. Sorry. According to the scriptures, entire creation began with sound. Of course, Big Bang also has sound in it. Big sound. So, just like according to the Christian theology, they say that at the dawn of creation, the Word was God, and it was with God. And then the word which he uttered was, let there be creation. So he just uttered those words, let there be creation, and there was creation. And even Srimad Bhagavatam explains that from sound, it's very technical. I don't want to go into the technical aspect of how the five elements which you talk about, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. The subtlest is ether. Ether means space. And space, you can determine space by sound. Just like right now, you are able to hear me. Huh? You are able to hear me? You are able to hear me because of space. And if there is something vacuum, you can't have sound travel through that. So it began with ether, the creation of this entire creation, this universe, began with ether and the sound of God and the scriptures, what we are discussing. So creation, just like, for example, if you want to build a house, it begins with sound. You make sound. I want a house in Nasik. Huh? It begins with sound. Then you get hold of, say, an architect or civil engineer. And then you again make sound. You tell to the architect, I want a house like this. And the architect also makes sound. Okay, how much square feet? How much budget? What is the interaction going on? Sound. So it begins with sound and then it comes into all the material things which are properly placed in. And what to speak of this? Any relationship begins with sound. Like when in the bygone ages, when there used to be arranged marriages, some time ago, in the ancient times, there used to be arranged marriages. And what was the concept of arranged marriage? Wherein the parents of the boy and the girl, they come together and they exchange what? Sound. My son is so much qualified, my daughter is so much qualified. So exchange of sound vibration. And that sound vibration then results into some relationship which further becomes more strong. And also, why is it important? Because it is the first limb of Navada Bhakti. Navada Bhakti means the 9 processes of devotional service mentioned by whom? Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is the best person to speak about Shravan. Why? Because Prahlad Maharaj, he had the hearing within the womb of his mother Kayadhu, Hiranyakashipu's wife, Mrs. Hiranyakashipu. Mrs. Kayadhu Hiranyakashipu. So she was carrying Prahlad, and that was the time when Narad Muni spoke Bhagavat to Kayadhu. So Kayadhu also heard, but more than Kayadhu, it was Prahlad within the womb of Kayadhu. Just look at the technology that time. That the embryo within the womb was more attentive than the mother. And it was Prahlad who heard everything. Therefore, when Prahlad started preaching to his schoolmates and also to his teachers, they asked that, where did you learn all this? Are you going to some tuition somewhere else? Hiranyakashipu ke school hone ke baad, fir tuitions you are going to Vaikuntha? So then Prahlad is saying that, all of that I heard when I was in the womb of my mother. And that is the power of hearing, which Prahlad Maharaj could experience when he was in the womb. So can you imagine? Someone in the womb can be so attentive in hearing. What is expected of us then? Definitely much more. So therefore, Prahlad says, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam and all that. 9-fold processes we discussed. So the first is the hearing. Now we have the hearing graph and that how this process works on our system. The first is knowledge. We get some knowledge about someone or something. That knowledge leads to attraction. Attraction leads to affection. Affection leads to enthusiasm, which leads to commitment, leads to implementation, leads to surrender. This is the graph with which we can understand what is the function of hearing. Like when we hear, we get knowledge. Like for example, if I ask you that from tomorrow onwards, we will have an 8-session course on Sargal Singh. Sargal Singh. So the fees is 1,000 rupees and it's a very interesting seminar on Sargal Singh. How many of you want to register? Huh? No one. It's the most popular seminar, the most hot topic going on. Really? Because you do not know who is this Sargal Singh. Therefore, no attraction, no affection, no enthusiasm. It actually happened in one kingdom. That in one kingdom, there was one a person, and he was good friends with a dhobi. So one day he saw this dhobi dressed in black. He asked, "Hey, why are you dressed in black today?" He said, "You don't know, Sargal Singh died." He said, "Acha?" So he also dressed in black. And then as he came to the king's palace, the minister said, "Hey, why you are dressed in black?" He said, "You don't know. Everyone knows Sargal Singh died." So the minister also dressed in black. And the minister and then, you know, the chief general of the army, everyone dressed in black. Everyone, Sargal Singh died, we should dress in black. And finally, the king, he came into the palace and everyone was dressed in black. Yes. What's today is a black day? Why everyone is dressed in black? And everyone says, Maharaj, Sargal Singh died. So who the hell is Sargal Singh? And then, you know, the minister, the chief minister is asking, you know, the deputy minister, Sargal Singh, gone away. And then, I'll find out from that person who told me. And find out from the dhobi. Finally, it reached the dhobi and the dhobi was called. Hey, who is Sargal Singh? Sargal Singh was my donkey. So, just like, you know, when I asked you that there is going to be an 8-session seminar on Sargal Singh, how many of you were inspired for that? So, when we are talking about knowledge, when we hear, we get knowledge, and that knowledge gives rise to attraction. Like, you know, this example is given of, you know, there are these maternity rooms in China, and you know, thousands of children are born every day. But over there, they have a system that, you know, the bed number and the child and the mother is one, say, bed number 10, mother number 10, child number 10. That's how they determine. So when, you know, the mother, because, you know, small babies, they look alike. What to speak if they are Chinese? So the mother, when she enters after delivering the child, when she enters the ward to collect her baby, she has to be told, "You are number 10, that is bed number 10, and that is baby number 10, that's your baby." And then all the feelings, "Oh my dear, mere jigar ka tukda, Raja beta, aur baki kaun the?" नंबर बताने से पहले सभी राजा बेटा थे फिर नंबर बताने के बाद एक राजा बना. सो दैट नॉलेज गेव राइज टू अट्रैक्शन. देयरफॉर व्हाट वी फाइंड इज दैट यू नो, लाइक आई स्पोक अबाउट से सम टिम्बकटू और सरगल सिंह लाइक दैट. बट इफ इन केस यू नो, इफ आई वुड हैव टोल्ड यू दैट दिस कमिंग संडे सचिन तेंदुलकर इज कमिंग, यू नो, फॉर attending the session. Really? What time? What time the session begins? You know? And this question we ask for various reasons. What time the session begins? When we do not want to attend the session, that time also this question, what time the session begins? And when we are very eager to attend the session, what time the session begins? So if this is announced that Sachin Tendulkar is also coming, so then you see how many people. And you know, even if there is a seminar going on, the speech is on, everyone is looking at Sachin Tendulkar in the audience. Sachin Tendulkar kaise sunta hai dekhte hai, kaise baithta hai, Sachin Tendulkar kaise hasta hai beech mein dekhte hai. So if there is any joke, everyone will look at Sachin Tendulkar. So why this person has received so much of attraction? Because one reason is knowledge. Knowledge is being circulated about this person. Now, imagine a cannibal from Africa comes. And Sachin Tendulkar comes in front of the, you know, cannibal? Man eaters. So a cannibal from Africa comes and Sachin Tendulkar, you know, wants to give his autograph to the cannibal. So when the cannibal looks at Sachin Tendulkar, autograph kyu, pura haath kyu, pura hi do na. So we'll be very attracted to the nice flesh on the body of Sachin Tendulkar. So the cannibal's attraction is limited to whatever knowledge the cannibal has received in the cannibalistic lifestyle of that cannibal. But herein, when we are talking about proper knowledge gives rise to proper attraction, that gives rise to affection. Because attraction is simply on a superficial level. But then, there is affection which goes more deeper. And because of affection, then you find that there will be enthusiasm within. It's much more deeper than affection. And that enthusiasm gives rise to commitment. That you commit to a certain person. You commit to a certain process. And of course, then that commitment is of no use unless it is implemented. And that's the resultant is surrender. And therefore, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita follows this graph of knowledge, attraction, affection, enthusiasm, commitment, implementation, and ultimately sarva dharman parityajya surrender. So it's a very, very scientific process as Krishna gives the hearing graph. How to do? As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively. Very specific words Krishna is using. Pranipat means submissively, in humility. Pariprashna. Pariprashna means the prashna should be asked in such a way that one should feel the desperation of getting the answer. Not just for the sake of asking any question. Like, sometimes, you know, after some very intense seminars, some very deep seminars, sometimes people come and ask such silly questions that sometimes you feel wounded, you know, as if someone came with a cannon and just blow you. So, like I remember, I gave one particular seminar on chanting, and so many different aspects about chanting I had spoken. And after the whole seminar, one person, this was a student, he comes and he asks me, "Have you seen white cobra in your life?" I said, "What it has to do with the seminar today which we took? Have I seen white cobra? What difference will it make even if I see white cobra or if I do not see a white cobra?" So sometimes, you know, when herein Krishna is talking about pariprashna, the prashna should be such that the answer when received should be applied in one's life, and there should be transformation which should take place because of that answer. And of course, then Krishna says that it should be done unto a tattva darshi. A tattva darshi means one who has seen the tattva, the real tattva, and not only seen but also realized. So herein, when we are talking about submission, when we are talking about service attitude, the hearing process, it actually percolates within our consciousness when it is done in humility. But when the hearing is done in a challenging mood, then that hearing, it doesn't settle in the consciousness. It is simply hitting the ears. And therefore, as far as even speaking is concerned, that has to be done in humility, because it is said that when you speak from your lips, simply from the lips, it hits the ears only. When you speak from your mind, it only hits the mind of the audience. If you speak from your intellect, it again simply hits the intellect of the audience. But if you speak from your heart, it hits the heart of the audience. And the same is for the hearer also. So it should be done in the mood of submission and service attitude. And this is an interesting story of three dolls. One time there was one sage who was called to speak on the existence of God. And there was a big pandal arranged for him in the village. And what the sage had done, as people were entering into the pandal to hear him, the sage had outside the pandal put up three dolls, you know, on a table and for sale. So all the three dolls, they looked alike, exactly the same. The first doll was rated no, it's free of cost. There was no rate put on that. The second was rupees 100, and the third was 10,000. So everyone was entering. First, they were a little surprised that why, you know, this particular thing has been displayed outside and in such a strange and weird way. So first question everyone asked that, why? What is all this? Kindly explain. So the sage took everyone outside and he took the first doll. And he said, what is the rate of this doll? Free of cost, muft, no rate. And then he had a straw in his hand. He tried to pierce the ear of that doll, the first one. And what happened to the straw? The straw broke. So he kept the doll and said, this is the first type of hearer, or the third class hearer. Then nothing enters. The ear holes are open, but nothing enters inside. Then the second one, he took the doll, he tried to pierce the straw, and what happened? The straw went in, but came out from the other side. So there was some value to that hearing, but not so much. So at least there was some value to that particular doll. But the third one, the straw entered the ear, but didn't come out from the other. And that is the best type of hearer, as we have the example of Arjun. Arjun, who heard the entire Bhagavad Gita, after hearing the entire Bhagavad Gita, what did Arjun do? Did Arjun say to Krishna, nice lecture, Krishna. Now, I will, you know, continue with my begging profession, which I had decided not to fight here and go out and, you know, after hearing, you know, I can give these lectures to others. You know, I have noted down all the shlokas, all the chapters and everything, and I'll speak this to others. What did Arjun do? Nashta moha smritir labdva tat prasadat mayachita. Stitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. That is what is the success of hearing Bhagavad Gita, as Arjun was successful. That he said, now I will do what you say, Krishna. So that should be the culmination of one's hearing. And finally, what is the effect? Six effects of proper hearing. The first is, this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Parikshit Maharaj, who is the Shravana Acharya. Parikshit Maharaj heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami for 7 days and seven nights, non-stop, without drinking, without eating, without even a wink of sleep. Parikshit Maharaj heard. So he is saying that the effect of hearing is the six effects of hearing he mentions. The first is that when we hear from the proper source and properly, the unattractiveness for Krishna is vanquished from the heart. Yat Shrinavata Apaiti Arati Vitrishna. Parikshit Maharaj explains. He says that because of staying in this material world, there has naturally, we have developed unattractiveness for Krishna, for God. So when we hear about God, that unattractiveness goes away slowly. And also there is another thing which is very much intensely present within the heart. Along with unattractiveness for topics about God, there is intense attraction for sense gratification. So sometimes you must have observed that, I observe it many times, that whenever direct Krishna Katha is spoken, it's not so relishable by many. But whenever, you know, something else comes up, you know, Mickey Mouse, huh? What? So then, you know, that attraction develops and, you know, all of those other things happens. Why? Because within our heart, there is intense attraction for mundane subject matter or sense gratification. So that also gets vanquished simultaneously. Then the third, after that, which happens as we hear properly from the right source, we come in the mode of goodness, sattvam, in the mode of goodness, which means earlier we couldn't sit in front of someone to hear for more than 10 minutes. But now, just like, there was one American devotee who had come to our Bombay temple, and I had taken him to one college program in Bombay. And I asked him that, you also speak after I speak. So I said, I'll speak for 10 minutes and you speak for 45 minutes around. He said, 45 minutes? The people listen? I said, what do you mean? They can listen for 1 hour. Sometimes I go on and on and on, 1.5 hour. And then he spoke for 45 minutes and he was surprised. And he said, I congratulate all of you that you have so much capacity to sit and listen 45 minutes. Because he, preaching in America and New York University, he said, hardly students, they have the patience to sit for more than 10 minutes to listen to a talk like that. So that is the sign of passion. But when a person becomes more adept in hearing, the mode of goodness comes in. And the mode of goodness is that the person gets more capacity to hear. So our capacity to hear more is increased when we are hearing properly. Cleansing of the heart, shuddhyati. And then when we are established in the mode of goodness, the next symptom is shuddhyati. The heart is getting cleansed. And when the heart is cleansed, what is left in that clean heart is nothing but Krishna prema or Krishna bhakti, which is dormant. Just like water, when you filter water, you just remove the impurities and the pure water remains. So pure Krishna bhakti, which is there within all of us, it remains. And the last symptom, the effect of hearing is, not only do we awaken love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when we hear in association of devotees, we reawaken our love for the fellow devotees of the Supreme Lord also. And therefore, Krishna says in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Sakta Manah Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya Asam Shayam Samagramma Yatha Gyasasi Tat Shrunu. Shrunu means, again, Shravan. He's saying, you hear, just hear from me, Arjun, and just by hearing, you will develop asakti for me. You will develop your surrender unto me. And therefore, he's saying, just hear, and that is the proper form of yoga in full consciousness of me, and your mind will be attached to me just by the hearing process. And therefore, it is said, we should learn to listen and listen to learn. Herein, that is something very interesting. If you take this word learn, if you take out the L, what remains? Earn. So many times people, they learn simply to earn. But herein, it should not be just to earn a living. But herein, as this famous quote you must have heard, if you want to know God, if you want to know peace, you should know God. Otherwise, vice versa. And therefore, to know God, what you have to do? You have to just hear by being here. So, of course, the hearing process is a process. It's a process, which means it has to be going on. It's a verb, an activity which has to be happening in our life. And therefore, when the B of that ABCD, which we have discussed tonight, we are talking about not simply taking a book or Bhagavad Gita in our hands and simply mugging up the Sanskrit or simply finishing it for the sake of finishing. In order, if somebody asks, I can say that I have read the Gita once in my life. So therefore, we have to implement it, and whatever we discussed, specifically remember the graph. That's very important. That knowledge should lead into all those other factors and ultimately surrender. If the surrender is not taking place, which means somewhere something is going wrong in that chain, and we have to locate it, try to repair it, and continue on the process of hearing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions anyone has? Pariprashna? You have a question? Yeah. Huh, loudly. You didn't understand? How many of you didn't understand? Raise your hands. Performative utterance. Now, don't think, Sargal Singh jaisa nahi, koi samajh mein nahi aaya tha, kale kapde pehen ke baith jao. If you didn't understand, ask it. You didn't understand. Okay, how many of you understood? Okay, Venus will explain. Sit down. Just speak loudly. It should carry weightage. If you literally try to understand word to word, utterance means word, some speech, and performative means that there is activity connected to that speech. So the example which Austin gives from Oxford University is that when the judge pronounces, utters the punishment for the criminal, after that the activity is performed that the criminal is punished. It's not simply words that everyone, wah, kya dialogue bola. Chalo, ghar chalte. No, after that, he doesn't go to his home. He goes to jail. So which means, as he said, that it carries that weight because the judge is pronouncing at a certain time, at a certain place, in a certain circumstance. Otherwise, the same person in another circumstance pronouncing the same utterance will not carry the activity behind it, the performance behind it. So that is, hope it's easy to understand now. Huh? Huh? Yeah. Well, that is more difficult for people to understand. Yes, what you said is right. Karishye vachanam tava. Same performative utterance what Arjun did after hearing the whole Bhagavad Gita. He picked up his Gandiva, started to fight, kill Duryodhan. That is performative utterance. Student? Okay. Anything else? Okay, so which means whatever has been uttered tonight, hopefully, surrender to Krishna. Hopefully, it would be performed. And our next Friday session would be very interesting. Chanting. The power of chanting, the C. And hopefully, we won't discuss about white cobras. We'll discuss about we'll discuss about chanting. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
जय श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की शिल प्रभुपाद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी महाप्रसादे गोविंदे नाम ब्राह्मणी वैष्णवे स्वल्प पुण्यवतम राजन विश्वासो नैव जायते शरीर विद्या जाल जोड़ेन्द्रिय ताहे का जीवे फेले विषय सागरे।